Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. So glad that you've joined us today for our service as we continue our series, Fan the Flame. During the summer, there was a lot of athletics and swimming and different events happening on our TVs. You maybe watched some of the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. Well, not long after that, there were the European Championships in Germany, in Munich. And I saw one or two bits of that competition, and one of the races that I was watching was the relay race. I love the relay race. I just love the excitement and that team dynamic within the relay race. And the Great Britain and Northern Ireland men's team won gold, and soon after their race, the women's team were taking part in the final of the 4x100 metres relay. And before the race even began, the commentators were waxing lyrical about how much these girls were the favourites for this race. Before the starting gun had been fired, they were favourites, and everyone on paper thought they were going to win. But of course, being in Germany, the Germans were really passionate and desperate to win. So they all lined up for the race. They go through all the different nations and the crowd at capacity is cheering on and then falls silent waiting for the starting gun. The gun explodes and they start running that first part of the relay. And the girl from the Great Britain team is running really well. She's going super fast and it looks like they've got off to a great start. The crowd begin to cheer them on and they're shouting on the people from their country. And it's coming up to that first moment in the relay where the first runner passes the baton on to the second runner. And everything's looking good. The second runner has looked over the shoulder and sees the first runner come in and starts to run and puts their hand out behind them. And the British girl has got the baton out ahead of her. And it comes to that moment where they're supposed to pass the baton on to the next one. And for some reason, it didn't work. The second runner kept on running, and the first runner hadn't effectively passed on the baton. And of course, we're all in disbelief because we thought they were the favourites. Their form going into this was brilliant, but they had unsuccessfully passed the baton on. And I'll be honest, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, what was she doing? It was almost in her hand. Why didn't she just grab the baton and run? And then after the race was finished, the commentators analysed that transition. And with their experience, they revealed that actually it was the first runner that had made the errors. The first runner had begun to slow down before she had released the baton. And at one moment, when the baton was stretched out to go towards the second runner's hand, when she hadn't grabbed it, she pulled the baton away in frustration. And at that point, they'd outrun the transition box and they were disqualified. And as I was watching this scene in front of me and hearing the analysis, I was reminded that every single believer has got the responsibility to pass on and to invest into the next generation and the generations ahead. You see, sadly, in this race, the second, third and fourth runner never got to run their race because the first runner didn't pass on or invest in the next runner. Today I want to continue this thought of fanning the flame and the importance for each of us to fan into flame so that we can leave a legacy and invest in those that are coming behind us. If you're part of Apex Church, I want you to think beyond the here and now. I want, with your eyes of faith, to look ahead and consider your children, your grandchildren, and their children. That if we can look into the next 10, 20, 50, 100 years, that what can we do today to make a lasting impact and an investment into them? That in 100 years' time, they'll look back and they'll be grateful and thankful for the investment that we made today. You could be watching me today and go, well, how are we going to be able to do that? I've got so much of my own stuff that I'm trying to figure out. How is it possible to invest in the next generation? And maybe you've got dependents, people that are depending on you. You have children, grandchildren, other family members, and you're thinking, well, it's not all just about getting all my stuff together. How is this going to affect the other people that are depending on me? Well, today I want to read to you once again those verses that I spoke on the last time. They're found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is the last letter that Paul writes, and these are some of his final words. He's preparing for the end. This is the last pages in his life story. And he's not writing these words from a retirement village. He's not writing this whilst on holiday. He's writing this from a dank, dingy prison cell. And his thoughts are not about his own well-being or himself. His thoughts are about others and the future. He writes to Timothy and he reminds him of that unique gift that he'd been given to minister and to lead. But also he reminds him of the spirit that is within him. Read with me from verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You know, fear is a natural emotion. It's something that we're given so that we can keep ourselves from danger and can protect ourselves from harm. But that's not the type of fear that Paul is talking about here. He's talking about an unhealthy fear, that which leads to anxiety, worry, fearing the worst, a sense of being overcome with terror. You know, the enemy wants us to live our lives overcome in fear and terror, thinking the worst all the time, fearful of what might never happen, catastrophizing about things in our life, feeling overwhelmed that it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's never going to change. And the enemy jumps on all these thoughts and feelings, and he magnifies these things. And it moves from that healthy fear, which is to protect us, to an unhealthy fear that can be restrictive and limit us. If we live our lives according to our fears, we're never going to invest in the next generation. Paul knew this for Timothy. He had various things that he could have been fearful about. They're living in a time where Christians were being persecuted for being followers of Jesus. At the time, their lives were on the line. Paul is certain that he is going to be executed. He knows his time is coming to an end. And Timothy, who is in another part, is also aware that it wasn't an easy shift to be a Christian at this point. Not only is he fearful of his life, but of those who were his opponents, that attacked him, that criticized him. He was criticized for his association with Paul and also for the message of the gospel. So he had a lot to be fearful for. He could have been fearful not just about the present, but about the future. Now, how am I going to cope without Paul? He depended on him and learned so much from him. And he was so aware of the weaknesses of Paul and his life, and it was coming to an end. How am I going to manage to lead this church and the other churches around here without Paul's wisdom, encouragement, and support? And Paul realizes that Timothy could have been burdened and overwhelmed with fear, but he writes these words to remind him of the spirit that is within him. He tells him about that sincere faith that he saw in his grandmother and his mother that's within him. And he's reminding him about that faith that's in him. And because that faith is real to him, the Holy Spirit resides within Timothy. And Paul wants to remind him of what that Spirit does. And for each of us today who are watching and listening, I want to remind you about what the Holy Spirit has for you. That if you know Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, your faith is in him, the Spirit is already there within you. And that Spirit is not a spirit of fear. Paul tells us in verse 7 that it is of power, love, and self-discipline. Have you asked yourself recently, how are we going to get through this? How am I going to make it? You know, the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, gives us power. Power to overcome the circumstances we find ourselves in life. Maybe you're finding yourself today in a circumstance that's overwhelming you. Seems impossible. Seems like it's never going to change. Seems like things are always going to be this way. Well, I want to encourage you today that you've got power within you to help you to overcome your circumstances. In fact, if we want to be people that are investing in the next generation, then we've got to overcome the circumstances that we find ourselves in. That we've got to take on the giants that we need to slay. We can't leave these things to the rest of them. We've got to take them on head on. Maybe you're watching me today and your circumstances are not good because you find yourself in a position of ill health. Or maybe you find yourself in a position of debt. Or maybe you find yourself in one of those unforeseen circumstances that you never saw coming. Maybe you find yourself today following a pattern of behavior that is harmful. Or maybe you just feel completely overwhelmed in life. Or could it be that there's something going on that you didn't fully realize that it would end up like this? Well, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit resides within you, and he gives you the power to overcome your circumstances. Through the difficulties and the dangers of life, we can know the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome these trials. Paul could reflect at the start of 2 Corinthians of the difficulties and the dangers that he had faced. He writes to that church in Corinth and says these words, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired for life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Paul knew what it was like to be under great pressure. He knew what it was like to feel the strains in life, so much so that he thought his life was going to end. And maybe you can relate today and you're feeling under pressure. You are feeling strained. Well, Paul says that all these things happened so that I wouldn't depend on myself, but I would depend on God who raises the dead. You know, Paul says in another part that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. That's the Spirit that gives you power to overcome your circumstances. Friend, you have to run your stretch of the race. You have to go the distance. You can't give up now. Don't quit. There are so many people after you in your family, in your network, in your church, in your community that are depending on you to run your race. Don't give up when it feels too hard. But realize the Spirit is within you to give you power to overcome. Paul tells us also that this Spirit is a Spirit of love. And Paul knew that Timothy was going to need a lot of love. Love for his enemies. Love for those who were his opponents. Love for the people that he was trying to lead and pastor. Love for people that didn't always understand him. Love for people that maybe didn't see eye to eye with him all the times. Paul realized that in ministering and being a pastor, you need a lot of love. And the Holy Spirit gives us love to help us with our relationships. Paul knew that Timothy had opponents who were discouragers, who were detractors, who were distractors. And Paul tells him that you're going to need that Spirit within you that is loving. It's almost like he was saying to Timothy not to look to the other lanes of the race, but to focus. Not to look at the competitors on the left or the right-hand side, but to focus on the race that he was running. Paul knew that Timothy would have enemies because of his association with him, but Paul encouraged them not to be intimidated by other people. Have you ever found yourself intimidated by others? Oh, they've got it all together. They just do everything right. Everything seems easy for them. I'm just not that good. They're better than me. I'm not good enough. Paul knew those thoughts of inferiority and intimidation that I'm sure at times Paul felt. And he knew, Timothy, you're going to need a lot of love for these people, but don't let them intimidate you. You might be young. You might notice your weaknesses. You might have a lot of challenges to deal with. But you've got the Spirit within you. And it's a Spirit of power, and it's a Spirit of love. I read this week, comparing is a losing game. And if you find yourself caught up in that game of trying to compare yourself to other people, you're always going to lose and you're always going to feel intimidated. But you've got to remind yourself, like what Paul did to Timothy, of that sincere faith that's in you, of that gift that you've been given to serve God, and also for the Spirit that resides in you. Don't allow other people to intimidate you and to halt you or hinder you from fulfilling your purpose in God. We are to love our enemies. Paul knew all about having to love enemies, people that had done him harm, people that had spoken ill of him, people that had tried to have him killed. And just like Jesus taught us to love our enemies, even though he taught that, he still suffered. And he still died, and the Bible tells us that he died for his enemies. And it goes even further to say that we were his enemies. And he loved us so much that he lays down his life for his enemies. So that we, his enemies, might receive his love, his forgiveness, and be restored into the right relationship with our Father. The Holy Spirit can give you that supernatural love for other people, but also can help you not to feel intimidated and miss out on your purpose. He goes on and says that the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Have you asked yourself this, how am I going to live as a follower of Jesus in today's society and everything that's going on? How am I going to fulfill God's purpose for my life? And the reality is that we need a lot of help. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can give us wisdom to know how to live right when everything around us seems wrong. And this word self-discipline, in some translations it would say self-control, sound mind, really it's pointing towards sober thinking and a wise head. Paul says to Timothy in other parts of this letter that to keep your head. And when you find yourself in challenging situations, pressure moments, it's very easy not to think clearly and to make decisions that have lasting consequences, maybe in a temporary circumstance. I know we've heard of people who made COVID choices, who during the pandemic made significant life choices dependent on the circumstances and didn't think of the long game. And Paul's saying to Timothy here, and would encourage us, that in those challenging moments of life, don't lose your head. Keep your head. Think clearly. And that's going to take a lot of self-discipline. Just as an athlete is determined and is focused in their preparation, and when they're running the race, when they are focused, that they are successful. But if they take their eye off the prize, if they are distracted or they're too casual, that's when things go wrong. Let me tell you about this guy from Ethiopia called Hagos. Hagos was a record-breaking 5,000-meter runner at junior level. He was a successful runner. And back in 2019, he's running in the Diamond League, the 5,000 meters, and he is way out in front. He has left everyone in his dust, and he's almost there. And he's running that round the track, and he can see the finish line, and he's running right towards that finish line. And when he gets to the finish line, he hears the bell ringing. And he starts to slow down and starts celebrating. But he'd taken his eye off the prize. He'd stopped running one lap too soon. And as he is celebrating, his nearest rival runs past him. And then the third place runs past him as well. And he suddenly realizes that the race isn't over. And he's doing his best to try and to make up the lost ground, but he fails to win the race because he gave up too soon. Can I encourage you, everyone who's listening to me today, that we've got to run to the very end. We can't be too casual that we just hope that everything's going to be okay. Que sera, sera. We've got to run our race to the very last step. That's what Paul did. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. He knew that he had given everything up to that very, very last moment. Now, Timothy, you need to do the same. We, as his followers of Jesus, we've got to do the same too. The next generation, future generations, are depending on us to keep the faith, to be people that are sincere in our faith, that are passing on and giving a legacy that's going to last for generations to come. So this next generation are relying on us to overcome our circumstances, to overcome insecurity, intimidation, not in our best efforts, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, with that love that the Spirit gives us. and to be wise in all we do. You know, Jesus is described in the book of Hebrews as someone who ran. We read this in the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. And friend, I want to give you an opportunity today to begin that relationship with Jesus. You could be watching me today and you do feel overwhelmed. You feel that life has gone on top of you. You just sense there's something missing. Things don't line up. There must be more. Or maybe you're feeling shamed and you're feeling guilty for things that you have done in this life. And you think that maybe I could never be forgiven. But I want to bring you good news today. That whoever you are, wherever you find yourself, that no one is not good enough and no one is too good. Jesus came for each and every one of us. He came into this world because he knew that we all needed help. He knew that for us to be in relationship with our Father in heaven, that something had to be done, that which separated us from our Father, that stuff in our life that we regret, those decisions and choices that we have made that don't please God, the Bible calls this sin. And because God is so holy and perfect, that's kept us separated. But Jesus said, I'll come. I'll bridge that gap. Jesus goes to the cross. He takes all our sin. He takes all our shame, all our guilt. And he pays that penalty for us. And he lays down his life, his blood is shed, so that we can receive the forgiveness for our sins. That when we come and we realize that Jesus is our Savior and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, well, the Bible tells us that he's faithful to do that. And he makes us into a new person because he gives us the Holy Spirit which lives in us. And that is our hope for the future. That's what we're going on. That in the future, because the Spirit resides within us, that we're going to be in his presence forevermore in all eternity. And you're watching me and you've never made a decision to ask Jesus to come into your life. I want to give you the chance right now. And you can use this to be a decision. I've wandered away. I'm coming back. Just pray this prayer sincerely. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior. I thank you that you went to the cross. You took my place. I ask you today to be my Lord. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Make me a new person. Help me to follow you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, you prayed that prayer, please connect with us today. We want to help you. But believer, you're watching me, and if you feel overwhelmed, then I want to remind you of the power of the Spirit, the love that you have, and the wisdom the Spirit can give you in life. And come on, let's invest in this next generation. Fan the flame.